This is Carmen DeFalco on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Carmen and Yurko podcast, presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Hope everyone's having a nice day. Reopening happening, which is encouraging and good. It's supposed to be a beautiful weekend, looks like. Tracy Butler was on with Cap earlier today. It's Carmen and Yurko live on Twitch, twitch.tv. Make sure you sign up, get the app, go online, search ESPN 1000 Chicago, and we'll say hi to you. Plus, I've got my Sylvie Strong shirt on. Make sure you buy yours.
Looks good,
okay?
Kid.
Everybody buy their Sylvie Strong t-shirt. Go to obviousshirts.com. We've all been tweeting about this and putting it on our Instagram account, so you can find the links there. Or just go to obviousshirts.com, buy your Sylvie Strong shirt, because all the proceeds are going to be donated to the V Foundation. And everything that the V Foundation collects, and I mean every cent, goes directly to cancer research. It is very important, very impactful. So make sure to get your Sylvie Strong t-shirt. There are a few different design options to choose from. Make sure you get yours today. Again, obviousshirts.com. Get back out to the phones in a second. I'll update everybody on the Twitter poll. I'm at Carmen DeFalco if you want to vote. And here it is, Yurko. We're talking about the NBA. And is the calendar going to permanently change? Would you like the NBA to permanently change its calendar to start in December? Two-thirds of the audience says yes. So you got a pretty heavy contingent here going with yes so far.
I voted yes.
You voted yes? Yeah. Good. I like to hear that.
And I retweeted your poll.
Thank you, Yurko. Yeah. Appreciate it very much. A lot about what happens in these European soccer leagues. Mm-hmm. And Taylor, our last caller, said they should just do away with the draft and do it more like they do in the EPL or in the various leagues where they don't have a draft. But you were saying they basically develop youth academies and buy players from all over the world, mostly in Europe, I guess, but all over the
world,
Europe. Right?
I mean, there's the five big leagues that we all know about. It's England, it's Germany, it's Spain, it's Italy, and...
France.
Is that the other
one? Yes,
Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah.
So what ends up happening, it's like Portugal has a league. You know, Croatia has a league with Serbia, I think. They have a league down there. There's leagues in Russia. There's leagues in Belgium, Ghent. You know, and other teams are out there. Young Boys, FC 20. Yeah, Shakhtar Donetsk. There's a bunch of teams out there. And some of the top teams that produce talent, young talent, because they know they can't compete against the big clubs to get all that talent. So they develop their talent. They take a lot of pride in developing their talent. Porto is one of those teams in Portugal, that produces a ton of talent.
Really?
So what happens is the big clubs come in and say, we'll give you $12 million in a transfer fee. They'll say it's not enough, it's more. It's up to the individual player. Does he want to go to that specific team that wants him? So there's a negotiation. Then off of what they're willing to pay the team, that's kind of what they're willing to pay the individual also.
It's almost like a minor league system for the big clubs in a sense, where you're saying they develop, like these teams know, okay, we can't ultimately compete with them, but what we can do is develop talent where the other teams are going to want these guys, and that's how we'll generate revenue and make money, and we'll continue to develop talent. And
exactly.
It looks good when you say, hey, look at all the great players that are playing at Man U from Porto or things like that.
Right. I mean, now, there's been 1,000 mistakes made over the course of time.
Always are.
And it costs the team a lot of money when you make a mistake. Yeah. So that's another one thing. So they're cautious when they go in. It's not just willy-nilly spending, because if you make some mistakes, especially high-priced mistakes, that's going to be a problem. It's going to set you back for a long time. They also got something called FFP, financial fair play, out there. Mm. The big clubs are doing it too much. Now they've got a system in place where if you've spent too much money, they don't allow you to maybe to get transfers that year unless you sell players.
I got you.
Yeah.
So they
the NBA has like a similar, almost a youth similar structure out there in the AAU. They can
program.
Just start getting themselves into the AAU, because all the best players play together when they're
most
13,
of them now.
You know,
some people think the AAU is terrible for.
I mean, it's because of the brand of basketball. It's give the one man ISO. Like, it's not a great brand of basketball that it's teaching players, but it could essentially, if the NBA got their fingers on it, it could be a similar. To those programs across the ocean.
Yeah. Is the system fair in the AAU program, too? They often wonder that. Is there, I mean, I don't know what kind of regulations there are.
I think the beauty of the European
program.
System is the big clubs don't have their hands in it. nobody has their hands.
See, that
in
could
these
be
clubs.
What makes it. Yeah,
these clubs are independent. The yeah. last thing you want if you're an independent club is to have the NBA put their hands.
Right.
In
that's
it.
What. Yeah. I mean, that's where it starts to muddy the waters. Almost. I think.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. That they operate totally.
Ty Streets used to have an AAU team called Mean Streets. I don't know if
I remember
he still
Ty
does.
Streets. Yeah.
Support it, but he used to have a team, Mean Streets. And they used to go out and play AAU basketball, and they play a ton over the summer.
TF.
Play tournaments and such.
TF South for Ty Streets?
No, Thornton, I believe.
Thornton, maybe you're
Thornton,
right.
Yeah. Napoleon Harris, Thornton guy. Antoine Randall L.
Pretty good.
They produce some players, yeah.
Carl's in Buffalo Grove. Hey, Carl.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
How you doing?
Good.
What's
how
up,
you?
Carl?
Hey, Yerk, yeah, you're one of my guys. I was telling Merkin, I'm an 89 Mark Harmon graduate.
Nice.
Oh, sweet. You play with a Warren Cushenberry?
Yeah, Warren Cushenberry. Yeah. My buddy. He started on the defensive line.
Yeah.
Mark Harmon with me. His brother, his nephew is Nooney, and the guy who plays for the Bears, Steve Edwards.
Oh, okay.
But what I wanted to just tell you guys is that, you know, this racism and all this stuff that's going on in this topic, I do commend you guys for having this topic on the radio often now. It's long overdue. And I'll just say that the country was founded, and they thought people like me and Warren were three-fifths of human. And the way that guy killed George Floyd last week or 2 weeks ago was the exact same thing. So really nothing has really changed at all. It's just expounded to better things and greater things. 400 years ago, there wasn't half a thousand billionaires on the earth. But now there is. So things are changing and things of that nature. You know, when I was at Mount Carmel and Harold Washington died, they announced it over the PA system at 9 in the morning, and all the kids, most of the kids ran through the school banging on the locker saying, ding dong, the witch is dead. Almost started a race riot up at Mount Carmel my sophomore year when that happened, when Harold Washington died. I mean, I've seen all types of things, been through all types of things, and that flag to me, it represents what this country has always done. And that's like what it's done to me and my people. And that's when they blow up Oklahoma City and killed Black Wall Street and killed all these people. How they walked in, how the police walked into Fred Hampton's house and killed him when he was dead because he's a black pastor. I mean, the flag means a lot to everybody. I have nothing to do about wars and going to serve the army or anything like that. Because when I was at Mount Carmel as an 18-year-old, I signed as a conscientious objector because I'm against war. I don't want to hurt anybody and kill anybody. But this is what this country is founded on. So just to have this dialogue now, just to move forward and try to make something different. Because I heard Kendall Gill on the radio say last week, I just want things to get back to normal. Normal is the last 400 years. Normal is racism. Normal is people not being treated properly. That's the normal. Normal is I don't have the same opportunities as the guy right next to me do, but his name is Dina Damchek, and I'm Carl Boston, but he's from a different part of the world and have different experience, a different part of the city, a different experience. So, again, I just want everybody to understand that this is a very important time in the world because what we do here in Chicago, what we do here in the United States, goes through the entire world.
Carl.
And we are the belly of the beast. And lastly, one thing. Hey, I know you guys won't believe it, but looting in Chicago didn't start till 4 or 5 days later. The people that powers that be in the government sent people into Chicago to start the looters, and the idiots just went along with
it. We've talked about that this week. Yeah, and, Carl, okay. That was well said. Thank you, Carl.
Thank you.
All right. See, that's why we feel like it is important for people to have a voice.
Caravan, class of 89.
Class 89, yeah. Who did you know? And you know one of his buddies?
Yeah, Warren Cushenberry. Played with me at Eastern Illinois.
Played at Eastern with you? Nice.
Yeah. Hey.
Mount Carmel, by the way, beat HF to win their state championship.
Was Leschnowitz the quarterback then?
No, he was gone already.
He was gone already?
He was gone, yeah. Leschnowitz.
What was when you were in high school, Mark?
No, it was my freshman year at Wisconsin.
Oh, freshman year at Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Okay. Dr. McNair is on the south side in Homewood. What's up? I think I hit the wrong line.
Either for Janik or Mikey Miller was the quarterback, or Danny Miller.
Hold on one second.
I think was the quarterback of that team.
I hit the wrong line. Dr. McNair. Hello, Dr. McNair.
Hey, I served this great country but imperfect country for 9 years. We fought for people to be able to protest. When people don't stand for the flag, I understand it. I would like them to stand, but I certainly understand it. It is their way in which they communicate their disregard or their contempt for what is transpiring. The flag symbolizes freedom. When you act those in other countries, when you see the American flag, what do you think of? The vast majority of them will say freedom. And so if you feel you're not totally free, and of course I would put that in quotation, if you feel you're not totally free, in other words, if you feel you can't go a certain place without being challenged, or if you feel that if you get stopped, your freedom may be compromised, you're going to take issue with that, and you do it a certain way, so you may not stand. But as a military soldier, we fought for people to have those rights, and so we must make sure we understand that and not connect the two, that if you're protesting the flag, you have a disregard for America in its entirety.
I think it's important when it comes from someone like you, Dr. McNair, that actually did serve too. Which branch of the military were you in?
Served in the Army, and we fought for those freedoms. And also, under that umbrella, it would be very difficult for people to say objectively that America has not improved. We had an African-American president who won two terms. And if I'm not mistaken, 28 to 37% of his support came from white America. So there has been a lot of progress. That does not mean we don't have a long way to go.
Yeah.
As I started off saying, I fought for this great but imperfect country. Thanks for taking my call.
That's all well said, Dr. McNair. Honestly, it really was. It was very well said, and I like to hear it when it comes from someone like him that actually served. So very good. That's what we're here for today. This week has kind of been about this. So we'll take some more calls, 312-332-3776. Todd Furman coming up in about 15 minutes. And is baseball really missing a golden opportunity here to sort of capture the hearts and minds of people right now, bring sports back to people that could use a little bit of it, and they're fighting over their millions and their billions, and are they potentially doing a lot of damage that's going to take a long time for them to sort of dig out from underneath? We will discuss some of that when we come back next.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
If you miss something, the podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now.
Carmen and Yurko wrapping the week. Back out to the phones in a few minutes here. Also, Todd Furman live in Vegas in about 10 minutes. One of our gambling insiders, Jeff Passan, writing at ESPN.com this morning about baseball and the impasse, Yurk.
Yeah.
All of this gridlock and inability to get anywhere close to a return to play deal is a fight over a few $100 million. If that seems like a paltry amount in the grand scheme of baseball economics, that's because it is. In a typical year, Major League Baseball generates around $10 billion in revenue. While hundreds of millions of dollars isn't exactly a rounding error, it is also not the sort of money worth piloting an industry into a full-on labor war. That's the basic premise and the very simple premise of a long, detailed article about the finances. And I encourage you to go and read it. A little mathy, as Jeff even knows.
Yeah.
But that's okay. You'll get the point. But all you really need is to kind of understand that basic principle here, that what are they fighting over in the grand scheme of things? And the potential damage it can do to your league long term, I think, is quite significant. But the owners don't really see it that way. I'll put a little bit of the blame on the players. That's fine. Yurk asked me earlier, what would you put percentage-wise? Okay, maybe 25, 30%. But they gave something. They agreed to something. And it's still not good enough for the owners. And I'm sorry, but it's laughable when they talk of, when Tom Ricketts comes out and says, "Well, baseball teams don't have cash. They don't. We don't.
I'm a
really,
fan of common sense.
Yeah, it's silliness.
Them getting paid for what they play is just a common sense move.
Sure seems
right?
like it.
Common sense move. They're dragging their feet in this situation. They're going to be allowed to have fans at some point here. So to work under the assumption that they're not going to be allowed to have fans in the stands, depending upon how many, it's not going to be 100% capacity, but you're probably going to be operating at a place where you could have 30% capacity in there. So you've got to take those numbers into effect. But if you're only playing 50 games and you're getting 5/16 of what you were going to get anyway, in what you had agreed to, I think that's where you're at. Either you're going to do it or you're not going to do it. Either you're going to play or you're not going to play. And for me, it's not the players. Either the owners want to do this or they don't.
Yeah.
You own the teams. If you want to do it, do it. If you don't, don't. Fine. We'll see you next year.
Would 50 games be a slap in the face, or is it better than nothing? I mean, if Rob Manfred can utilize...
I think 50 games is fine. 50, let's go. It's a sprint. Every single day would be important in baseball, wouldn't it?
Do you know what the Nationals' record was through 50 games?
19-31, Carmen. 19-31, yeah.
Remember the Mariners started off like 13-2, and then they were the second worst team in the game?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, it's crazy. 50 games.
That's the beauty.
Your minimums for qualifying to be a league leader for a batter would be about 155 plate appearances, you know. So
in 50 games, you'd be able to get that in.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. If you played a 50 game, like, so it's 3.1 Yerk for every team game played. So if you played 50 games, it's 155 plate appearances, and that's how you qualify. It'd be pretty wild.
I think it'd be great. Nice sprint. Sprint to the finish.
That's a sprint, all right.
I like it.
Oh, and speaking of sprinting, here on Twitter, hold on. Yeah, you were talking about Ty Streets. Jake checked in and said, yep, Ty Streets went to Thornton. Guys, I ran against him in the Warrior Relays. He was done before I got out of the blocks.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. Ty Streets can move back in the day. Ty Streets can move back
Ty Streets, I believe, was on that Thornton team that beat Farragut.
Was it? Is that right?
Yep.
Could be right about that.
Basketball team you're talking about?
Correct, Kevin Garnett and Ronnie Fields.
Boy, remember all how good they were and all like the hubbub about those two that senior year? That was something. Let's say hello to our buddy Harding. He's been a big-time contributor all week. He contributes all the time anyway, but what's up, Harding?
Hey, what's going on, Yurko? Hey,
how are you, Harding?
And Carmen. Hey, Yurko, I don't know if I ever mentioned to you, I'm a graduate of Thornton Fractional North, class of 04 myself. So,
nice.
Yeah,
you didn't see my face in the old hallways, did you? I was not a handsome young man.
I think you were. Tom Zach, I think we're up there. Yeah.
Yeah. My little brother was up there, too. Ooh.
Are you? The Hall of Fame? Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, they had an area for all conference players and all state players.
I
love
it.
Yeah, definitely. So I called in, guys, because the conversations are important, right? And I would ask the previous caller, Sean, if you're comfortable with the protest, is it still a protest?
Right, yeah, I kind of agree with that, yeah.
Right, if you control when and where and how a protest happens, is it in fact a protest?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the poison of racism, right? Drew Brees made his comments. We get angry, have emotional reaction, which turns Brees into a villain in some eyes and a victim in others.
Mm.
So those that criticize him only validate the ideology of racism in the hearts of racists. This is why racism is a poison. The human reaction to the suffering it causes only validates the marketing of it. He issued his apology, now we should move on, as Drew Brees is not our biggest concern. It's unfortunate his comments may tarnish his football career and reputation moving forward, and I know some ask that not happen, if only Colin had that same luxury. So I'll leave you guys with that. You guys have a wonderful day.
Harding, have a good weekend, buddy. All right.
Go Meteors.
Thanks. Go Meteors.
Yeah, Mighty Meteors.
Go to the Mighty Meteors.
Only two sets of Meteors, by the way.
Here in Chicago?
In the state of Illinois.
De La Salle
and us.
And Thornton T.F. Lawrence.
Yeah, the Mighty Meteors are fractional, kid.
Mighty Meteors.
Oh, boy. I'm telling you.
You're very proud of that heritage. I like it.
What? Being from Calumet City?
Being from Calumet.
Absolutely.
T.F. North? Yeah, I dig it.
We had a good time down there, man. We had a good time.
Good.
I still get back in and I go to Mish Brothers to pick up Polish sausage and Pano's Big Boy.
Oh, yeah.
Get my gyros. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, baby. Yes. 312-332-3776. Thoughts on the NBA's return. Thoughts on baseball and why they're dragging their feet and how much harm it's going to do them long term. And thoughts on the week. We're taking your calls on all of it. It would be nice if baseball would figure this out, but it seems like they are no closer today than they were, I don't know, 2 weeks ago. I remember saying at some point, you know, on like March 25th, to Yurko about, well, Yurk, they still have 6 days, and that's an eternity, right, for negotiations. Oh, yeah, they could still work something out. They're nowhere closer.
Yeah.
And now you basically just continue to have threats being made. Well, maybe we'll just institute a 50-game season, and so be it. And Tony Clark saying, we're done negotiating. We're not playing.
And if you're going to implement the games, implement them. What are you waiting for?
And I guess see what the union's response is then. I mean, if that's really what you want to do.
Yeah. And then baseball said, listen, we'll give you a couple special events. Yeah, you know, a couple things that you might want to do to put on television to give you some value. We're willing to throw that out there and let you do that.
If baseball could have gotten its you-know-what together, they could, like, in a matter of a couple of weeks, they could have been back up and running and playing. We don't have NBA basketball to watch until August or NHL hockey to watch until August.
Yeah.
They could have, I mean, there's golf next week. Golf, and that's going to be exciting. It's a great field. No Tiger, but I mean, it really is a very strong field for the Colonial next week. They call it something else now. It's called the Charles Schwab Challenge, but just got a sponsorship name. It's at famed Colonial in Fort Worth. It's got a great field. Like, we're going to be so into it. And, you know, I'm watching NASCAR, for crying out loud.
You were. And it's this week in Atlanta, mile and a half.
Yeah, that's
right. Cookie cutter, mile and a half.
Yurko's. And then next Wednesday, they got another race. See, they're stacking them on top of one another.
That's Martinsville. That's 0.526 mile.
So that one's
race
better.
Trick. They call that the paperclip.
The paperclip.
Because it literally looks like a paperclip when you look at it. Long straightaways and just a turn where you got to go left.
Yeah.
There ain't no good. You're left and it's
going
quick.
Left.
It looks like a paperclip.
Yeah, you showed me the picture. Yeah. It really does. But, I mean, baseball had a golden opportunity here. And
they piddled it down their pants.
That's right. And they've done it so often in their troubled history of labor relations.
Well, that's because owners know when there's a chance to put it to the players, you put it to the players. That's more important. They blew up seasons, Carm.
I know.
The owners have blown seasons to smithereens.
You think they would have learned from 94.
No, they don't care. They're in a much better place financially. Because of what they did in 94. They're in a better place.
So if they can convince the players to agree, and they're not going to, but like I'm just saying, their end game is here. Well, you have to take even less because there are going to be no fans. But then Yurko said, you're going to get to a point probably in August where a lot of fans could be allowed into the game.
Sure they will.
Do they renegotiate with the players then? Do they give them, they start making them whole again?
They're not going to, the players aren't going to agree to anything. It's going to be a 50-game season. They'll get the 5,160 seconds of the paycheck, and then they'll move forward.
Hmm. Well, it's better than nothing. I'll take it. I think it'll look silly, and it might look silly in the record book.
Carm, is it? Listen, the governor of the state of Illinois instituted summer school.
Yes.
On a limited basis. I don't know what the percentages are.
Correct.
But, so are things heading?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Are we, COVID, is what's happening in the COVID world? Our focus is off of that totally.
Well, especially after this week.
Right. After this week, the focus has been off, but get back into it and start reading up on it and see what's happening.
Yeah, what does the data say at this point? Like, should people feel safer about going?
And
out?
Listen, people doing fine. It's not an issue. The point is, you got to get back to focus on are we going to open up? Can we do this? Can we do that? Are we at 50%? Are we at this? Is it a little less than we thought it was going to be as far as the bounce back? Is there some word on antibodies that are out there? Is something coming down the pipeline? What is it that's currently happening?
You know, they're called immunologists, right?
Immunologists.
Immunologists. I hope I heard this right. I thought I heard on the news.
What channel were you watching this morning?
This wasn't this morning. This was a couple of days ago. And to be honest, I don't know what it was on. It might have been Good Morning or whatever it was. I was working out in the basement and the TV was on. But I heard the immunologist say that the quickest vaccine for one of these novel coronaviruses that are
H1N1 SARS.
Right, is like, kind of thing. I don't even want to say it.
Say it.
4 years.
Okay. It's okay to say.
I don't want
to
say it.
No, if that's what it is, that's what it is.
I can't handle 4 more years.
Well, you got to ask yourself about your antibody tests then.
Yeah.
You know, is there news on the antibody front?
4 years.
Hey, is there, you know, that's what you've got to ask yourself.
And she wasn't being, you know,
She was being factual,
right? Saying, you know, it's great that they're moving into these different phases, but you've got to be careful, and you got to understand the history of how these things are normally deemed safe for humans to use and how effective they're going to be. She said, you know, the quickest one ever is like 4 years, and we're talking about maybe doing this in like 9 months. I mean, it's like, oh my God.
Well, that's what you'd be talking about,
right?
9 months.
Ay, ay, ay.
I mean, if you had an indication of what it once was. I sat with the doctor that had the first case yesterday. The doctor that, what's the word, when you discovered the first case in the state of Indiana.
The doctor that discovered the very first case?
The very first case. They knew it was here. They knew it was there. But he had a guy. He ended up testing him.
Wow.
And then his was the first case in the state
of Indiana.
Is that
right?
Yeah.
Does that doctor?
And he told me, Yurko, you're so full of it. He goes, Yurk, you have no idea. You know, because we were talking to me and my buddies because we got done playing golfing. He goes, Yerk, you don't have a clue. It's not a bacteria. he kept...
No, it's not bacteria.
Right? No, I know. He goes, it's not a bacteria. Another one of the guys was saying it was a bacteria. He goes, it's a virus.
Virus, right.
Then he goes to me, Yerk, will you tell him it's a virus? It's a virus.
There is a difference between bacterial and viral.
So basically he was telling me all my theories, my stuff. He was telling me I was full of it. So,
but does he?
I appreciate it, doctor.
Is he positive at all? Dr. P, like, does he think that there, I mean, did, you know, like that there's.
Oh, no, he's a positive individual. He says, but he goes, everything that was done and was taken was there for a reason. And it mitigated whatever it needed to mitigate.
I just don't. I mean, like, well, we'll see. Well, I guess I don't know.
I call him Dr. TP.
Dr. TP?
Yeah, I went to high school with him, partied with him. Boy, who would have known he'd have become a doctor the way he drank?
Isn't that the best?
Holy mother of what? How are you a doctor? Are you kidding me? How's your liver? I'd like to go check that thing out.
I love how he's setting you straight, though, a little bit.
Yeah, I'll protect his innocence.
When we come back...
He set me straight yesterday.
When we come back, we'll talk to our buddy Todd Furman. They're starting to reopen Vegas. We'll get an idea of what it feels like, what it looks like, what it's going to be like, and also talk about what we can expect upon a resumption of the NHL and NBA seasons. So Todd Furman, live in Sin City, next.
See what Carmen and Yurko are talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Well, as gambling, sports gambling has become less and less taboo over the years in this country. Todd Furman has become a star because, well, he's devilishly handsome, obviously. Looks
striking.
Good. Looks good on TV, but he knows his stuff. And then some. I wish I had his mathematical mind. Unfortunately, I do not. Remember, Odds Couple will be on the air tonight. Mike North and me from 7 until 8 each and every Friday talking sports gambling. So we'll do that tonight. Mike will join us for his normal Friday hit in about 15 minutes. But our buddy Todd Furman is live in Vegas, and he's with Carmen and Yurko now on ESPN 1000. Oh, boy, is it good to talk to you, my friend. It was pretty good to see those fountains light up again at Bellagio. You probably hate that as a local, but that had to feel good to see those fountains turned on yesterday at Bellagio.
You know, honestly, Carm, I like to think sometimes the tourists can be a pariah in this town, but that was a sight for sore eyes, knowing how hard we've been hit by the pandemic, as I know a lot of cities have. But when the casinos shut down, that is the lifeblood of Las Vegas. And so while folks in the Chicagoland area anxiously await for some of their local establishments to open up, just getting those doors back, even if we're 30 or 40% occupancy, is a step in the right direction. And we can only hope by the time we have regular season football in early September that the atmosphere in sports books will be just like we've grown accustomed to over the years.
I mean, the summer's not exactly the busiest time of year in Vegas for a reason either. I happen to like going
good
in the
time,
summer.
Good value.
That's why I like going in the summer a lot. But what do they anticipate in terms of crowd with the regulations? Will people feel safe enough about traveling and going out and being like, are the pools going to be open? Like, where does all that stand for the people that do love to visit the Strip?
You know, that's a great question. And there's no doubt the experience for those folks who are going to come out here during June and July is going to be significantly different than what it would have been had they come out during the summer in previous years. But it's always interesting when you talk to people in and around the casinos, they're projecting low occupancy throughout the course of the summer months. You'll be able to stay at some of the higher-end establishments for cut-rate deals if you're willing to make the trip out. Now, what the restaurant experience will look like, if you're looking for day clubs or nightclubs, those are going to be fundamentally changed. And that's just the new normal that we live in, at least for the foreseeable future. You look at some of the gaming experiences that are out there. We've seen some of the higher-end properties install privacy and sanitation shields. So when you're at the dice table, you're not neck and neck with people trying to make best friends from folks everywhere around the globe. I think what's interesting, though, is you look at the way things have gone in downtown and some of the local casinos and on the Strip. You can see the stratification of people adhering to some of those social distance policies. Folks seem to be wearing masks with a much higher prevalence at the Cosmopolitan and Bellagio than you've seen at some of the older hotels downtown. And I think that's part of what makes Las Vegas great, is that you'll have a very different experience if you go down to Fremont Street, if you go to a local casino, and it's going to be no different through this time over the next 6 to 8 weeks at minimum.
Todd Furman's our guest, the Bet the Board podcast. He is at Todd Furman on Twitter, and he joins Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. We're excited about the relaunch of the NHL, the NBA. What do you think of the format for the NBA and what some of the odds are going to look like? I know a lot of the casinos are dramatically lowering the odds, especially Caesars, on the Nets, Todd, because of the possibility that Durant and Irving play at some point in the late summer, early fall.
Yeah, you can understand why books want to be a little bit proactive and make sure they can protect some of their resources and assets. I believe I saw a story, though, and don't quote me on this, that Kevin Durant has been ruled out earlier today. So he won't be returning until next season. So you imagine you'll see the Brooklyn Nets odds start to tick up a little bit from there. I actually would have liked it even better if the NBA went with one of the plans that was out there, that, hey, we're just going to see the entire field 1 through 16. We don't have to worry about geography. We're going to put the best team against the worst, and we're going to let some unique scenarios kind of play out, which would have created an absolutely loaded bracket if you had the Celtics, the 76ers, the Clippers all on one side of the draw, with the Lakers having the inside track on another. I give the NHL a ton of credit for what they're doing, having play-in games. I know Blackhawk fans now have that little shred of hope that they can make a deep postseason run in the best of five for those 5-12. But I think cooler heads prevailed that they went back to the best of seven when you get down to that final field of 16. And it's an experience for everybody else. Players, are human. They're going to have to make an adjustment. Fans will as well. But the fact that we finally have that optimism, and there are going to be sports, the winter sports that we wanted to see champions crowned, back playing in earnest at the end of July. Yes, it may not be the traditional, might not be the norm. Home court advantage, obviously, that you worked all season for, goes out the window. But some sports are better than none, although I'm sure Yurko right now is glued to the Bundesliga watching Freiburg against Mönchengladbach.
Oh, you know how big that game is. Any thoughts on NASCAR this week at Atlanta?
You know, it should be a great race. Atlanta, one of the more exciting tracks because there's multi-group racing available. Kevin Harvick has been the car to watch the last couple trips, although he's only won there once in the last 15-plus years, but led the most laps, consistently running in the top three. For me, I was surprised that Chase Elliott didn't actually open the favorite. He's widely available at 6-1, right in that particular price range. And you look at how he's run the last four races. Sure, he's only got one win, but he's got a second-place finish. He was wrecked and did some of the wrecking last weekend in Bristol. So if I'm looking at a guy, Chase Elliott, you want to go further down the board and identify some value, I think Kurt Busch and Jimmy Johnson in that 18 and 20-1 range do make some sense to dabble on.
I like those longer shots. No team sport in North America affords the home team a better advantage than the NBA historically. And as good as it is in the regular season, it's even better in the postseason. So without that, how do bookmakers adjust? Like, how much does home court in the NBA actually factor into game-by-game lines or series prices, Todd?
You know, it plays a major role in series prices, and I think there are certain teams that you see the real dichotomy of home-road splits, and one of those teams that jumps out to me, well, actually two in the Eastern Conference, when you look at how good Miami and Philadelphia have been at home versus how those two teams perform on the road, will you get something more along the baseline somewhere in the middle? Or will the fact that there aren't opposing fans, that there won't be whistles against them, change a little bit of that? So you're going to see, in my opinion, numbers become a little bit more volatile, especially early on. But I think what's real interesting more than anything else, when you look at these series, you're not going to see the massive changes from game one to game two, and especially game two to game three for teams that face that 0-2 series deficit, that typically play with their backs against the wall. So bookmakers are going to have to be strategic. I'm very curious to see how much change they'll have from game to game, and especially on the totals as well, with some of those unique shooting backdrops that these teams, you know, quite frankly, haven't grown accustomed to when they're playing in arenas filled with 15,000 to 20,000 fans on a nightly basis.
Yeah, PGA comes back next weekend. I mean, no Tiger, but a really strong field for the Charles Schwab. That's the old Colonial down in Fort Worth. I mean, this is one sport where they can pretty much simulate everything they need to simulate when they're away from competitive play, unlike these other sports. So do you expect the golf to be sharp? It's a loaded field. Do you like anybody next week at the Charles Schwab?
You know what? Haven't done my deep dive there to look at some of the outrights there. We'll definitely spend some time with matchups. But for me, I'll probably take a wait-and-see approach. And you're going to want to do as much reading as anything else. Current form always going to play a role into how these guys look. But when you watch some of the match play stuff that we saw, whether it was Tiger and Phil with the NFL quarterbacks or the four PGA pros out there, things are a little bit different. So I think folks that want to jump back into the deep end with both feet, you know, pump the brakes a little bit. Sports are going to come back in earnest. And we talk all the time, as you guys know, bankroll management is going to be key, especially as we get into September, where college football, the NFL, NBA playoffs, NHL, I mean, it's going to be a bettor's bonanza. So don't go out there and blow through your bankroll betting the first golf tournament we see back next weekend.
Now, that's salient advice right there. Make sure the bankroll is intact for the start of the football season. Did that Tiger Phil thing, I mean, did that get a lot of action? Or, I mean, was that more just for people to sit and watch? Was there a lot of betting action on that?
No, the numbers were massive. If you look at some of the books out there, DraftKings, my colleagues at Fox Bet say it was one of the most heavily bet individual golf matchups that were out there.
Wow.
That on some level started to rival what they would see for Masters handle. Oh. And I think that just goes to show that people are looking to try and satiate that sports appetite. So oftentimes, as long as there's big name cachet there, they don't really care what they're betting on. And we can look at some of the other stuff that's out there. NASCAR has seen a boost. I mean, Bundesliga ratings have been up, betting handle up 300 to 400%.
Wow.
International table tennis really off the charts. And I think when you look at even the KBO played at such odd hours for those folks across the country, you know, people that wanted to bet baseball are going to find a way to do their homework and bet. It may not attract some of the recreational bettors in droves, but for those folks that wanted to plunk down, you know, $5 or $10, what better way than you're getting up in the morning to go to work and you can sweat the final four innings of a baseball game for two teams you've never heard of
right
before 4 months ago?
Is it going to go over? All right. It's so good to talk to you, buddy, and good luck out there. And we'll talk again soon, all right?
Always a pleasure. Great catching up, guys, and can't wait till we start talking about more team sports in earnest, only about 5 or 6 weeks away.
Can't wait. See you, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. That's Todd Furman. He is at Todd Furman on Twitter. Just absolutely fantastic. Mike North will join us to talk a little bit of sports gambling coming up next. We've got Odds Couple tonight from 7 until 8. Crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie in just 15 minutes.
Get Carmen and Yurko pods on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Peace up. A-Town. Yeah. Okay.
What? Carmen and Yurko wrapping the week. Everybody on Twitch, what's up? Twitch.tv, make sure you get on that app, go online, check us out. Waddle will be back down in the studio next week. Yurko's back this week, so great. Actually, Waddle's back a week from Monday. I'll check that. Crosstalk with the boys in about 10 minutes. Right now, we say hi to Mike North, Mike and I tonight from 7 to 8, before Bleck and Abdallah have the Odds Couple. So don't miss us tonight, 7 p.m. sharp. Mikey joins us this time each and every week. He is at North to North on Twitter. Mike, what's going on? The NBA's coming back. It's a beautiful thing.
The NBA's coming back. First of all, how you doing, Carm? How you doing, Yurko?
Good, Mikey.
To talk to you guys.
What's up, kid?
The NBA's coming back. I mean, you know, it's what we do. It's what we do. It was taken from us.
I know.
America opened a couple weeks ago with the Odds Couple coming back. It was the official opening. Of course, some states and cities haven't gotten that word yet. But it's coming. And I'll tell you what, I like what the basketball, well, I'll talk about this tonight, but the basketball stuff is sort of, you know, interesting. I'm more excited about it than I thought. But I thought I'd run by something by you guys with this baseball. Is baseball going to come back? Now, a few days ago, yes was minus 500, okay?
Yeah.
And no was plus 100. Now yes is minus 300.
Wow.
And no is plus 200. So the odds makers, Carm and Yurks, have seen that maybe baseball and the people that run it are dumber than they even imagined. You know?
Like, how could they do this? And Yurko said to me earlier, why are you surprised?
You're shocked.
How could they do it?
Back in the history of this.
Mike, they had a golden opportunity. And that the change in the line just tells you about the sentiment and what they're feeling right now. And that's going in the wrong direction if we want to see baseball come back.
Right, as NHL's talking, even though they moved things back a little bit, everybody's trying to come back, and it looks like baseball isn't in Yerkes is absolutely right, because, Carm, I mean, you're younger than we are, and I know I'm a little bit older than Yerkes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not a little bit older, but I will tell you this, the stupidity's been rampant for decades.
Unreal. I mean,
and Rob Manfred is just an addition. I mean, this is all they need not to come back at all. To be looked on as greedy, both sides.
Both sides.
They have screwed up the 18 World Series by really not penalizing Boston, 17 by Houston. And you know what? I would say integrity's on the line at some point, even though they withstood strike after strike and lockouts and everything else.
It hasn't been a good PR offseason for Major League Baseball. You're right. Between everything that happened with the cheating scandals and now all of this, they had a golden opportunity that they have seemingly flubbed here. In the NBA, Mike, do we expect things to be like normal? I mean, very chalky historically when it comes playoff time in the NBA. The high seeds do well. The stars advance to the finals. I mean, we kind of know that in a very different setting. with, you know, no home court advantage. Could there be more upsets in the NBA playoffs?
Well, Carr, I'll tell you what, with the advent of the three-point shot and, of course, the lack of defense and basically run and gun, it's official. The NBA is now the AAU, and they will have a tournament. And it's going to be interesting to see who kept themselves in shape. You know, the guards won't be as worn down from having to grind a little bit. They've had some rest. You know, you got to like LeBron being fresh with Davis underneath. And but I like Boston as a dark horse. I think Houston's interesting in a short season with the playoffs, where maybe in a long season, you know, sooner or later they're going to shoot themselves in the foot. But, you know, it's going to be interesting. I think if anybody's going to have a problem, I would look to Milwaukee as a favorite to have a problem before. I would look to the Lakers at 5-2 before they'd have a problem.
Mikey, good stuff. We'll see you tonight, all right, buddy?
All right, guys. Take care of yourself.
All right, Mikey. Later. That's Mike North at North to North on Twitter. We will be on tonight 7-8 for the Odds Couple, and then Bleck and Abdallah will be on after us tonight, getting you set for the weekend. Encore replay tomorrow before Fred Huebner and Jeff Mellor from 8 until 9 a.m. Yeah, this break could do James Harden some good, a guy that historically has such a high usage percentage, and normally that translates to, you know, an early exit in the postseason, even for the historically great scorers and things like that. We've talked about it. No player with, a usage percentage, I think it's over 35, has ever advanced to an NBA final or won an NBA final. So it could do a player like Harden some good. I think that the play-in aspect of all this is unique and interesting, and it could be something they look to going forward, because it gives you a little extra revenue, some added games, some interest as the playoffs are starting, where you have a 9 seed that's close enough to an 8 seed where you can do this play-in tournament. Makes a lot of sense this year if you can get, like, the Pels and the Grizzlies. They'd probably love to have the Pelicans jump into that 8 spot, because AD and LeBron against the Pelicans in the first round. I mean, think about that. That'd be good for TV ratings, I'm sure. Milwaukee, by the way, I'll let everybody know, was on pace when the season was halted to have the fifth best point differential in NBA history. Milwaukee leads the league, 11.2 points per game. That's their point differential. That would be the fifth best in NBA history if it ends at that number. Now, they still have 8 games to play, so we'll see what happens. 14 of the last 20 NBA champions have finished the regular season in the top 3 in point differential. 14 of 20, so 70%. If you're always looking for those good indicators about how this team's going to do or who's going to do well in this postseason, historically in the NBA, that's a great number to look at. Yes, of course, you've got to find the stars and find the high seeds, but look at point differential. Only 3 teams in the last 30 seasons have finished the regular season outside of the top 6 and gone on to win a title. That's how rare it is. Those teams are the 95 Rockets, the 01 Lakers, and the 2011 Mavs. That is it. So historically, if you want to try to find the team that's going to win, look at the top of the regular season standings and see who's done best in margin of victory. And the Bucks led last year, of course, got knocked out in the conference semis, and they lead this year at a historically good pace. So I'm excited about the resumption of an NBA season. We were asking people earlier today on our Twitter timeline, Yurka, at Carmen DeFalco on my timeline, make sure you vote. Would you like the NBA to permanently change its calendar to start in December? And we've got 2/3 of the audience saying yes. I know you voted that way.
I voted yes.
Most of us like that. You probably shouldn't be competing with the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. It doesn't start at a point where I'm like, no, it absolutely has to start where it's at. You want to make an adjustment? Adjust.
The PGA learned after a couple of years, right? Like, why did we try this? Remember,
right when the NFL playoffs.
What are you doing when the NFL season starts?
Yeah.
Like, guys, don't know. It's a bad idea. And then they were like, yeah, maybe we should move this into August. Yeah.
Maybe it was good Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But even then, you're going up against college football, the behemoth that is college football.
Stay away.
And then on Sunday, it was really a convincer. Boy, that's bad.
Right? Stay away, guys.
Just run regular, normal tournaments in September, and let's finish out the year.
I'm telling you, they learn a hard lesson. It's tough to compete against the NFL and college football right now, so I think it'd be a good thing. I wouldn't mind it if the NHL did it someday. I wouldn't mind if these teams truncated their seasons a little. Now, I know that's a long shot because you're talking about how do you make up the revenue.
Yeah,
I mean, I get that, but you know, I wouldn't mind if they truncated the seasons a little. When we come back, we will talk with Waddle and Sylvie. Sylvie's out again today. I think Abdallah's sitting in once again. It'll be, was it Mellor today? Mellor's going to sit in today. Midway So he'll be in the studio. Waddle's at home. We will crosstalk with the guys coming up next and see what they've got on tap for 2 to 6. We'll be back in 2 minutes.